I tell you, it's another privilege being here this morning and just being able to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, you know, it's exciting. It's very exciting when we can get into God's Word and just open up the Word of life. And it is life that comes to us once we are saved. Our spirit bears witness with one another that we are children of God. And so taking this all very seriously, we're looking at today the first persecution. Persecution's been around for a long time. You go ahead and you name the name of Jesus Christ, and right away you come against the God of this world, the system of this world. This world hates God. It's the system of Antichrist, anti-God. And so we see here, just as it was in Corrie Ten Boom's day, remember when she was a Jewish lady that was hauled off to the Nazi prison camp there in Auschwitz because she was betrayed by a man that came knocking on her door and asked for help. And this man turned her in as well as her family. What did Corrie Ten Boom do? And when she was persecuted, she forgave them. And that's very key, my brothers and sisters. We must forgive, even though it's totally unfair. Let me tell you again, we must forgive because Christ had forgiven us. And so if we do not forgive, we become bitter, angry, and very caged in, so to speak, like a ravenous wolf full of rabies, this vicious and mean because it has taken hold of us. But we can be set free through Jesus Christ, or through Lord, through the Spirit of God, by forgiveness. And she was, and then actually as the story went on with Corrie Ten Boom, she was supposed to go to the gas chamber, and strangely enough, she said, because of her sister telling her this, that she went into this room, and they gave her some clothes and set her free. Her sister prayed about it, and you know, thankfully, through Billy Graham's wife there, she was able to get a movie started, and she went on many speaking engagements. But my point is, God can do anything if he wants to. If we forgive, we're set free. God can use us. Amen. He's using us today because we have forgiving hearts. And so just as it was here in Acts, because of what happened was, remember, the chapters were put in the Bible in the 4th century A.D. It was easier, they thought, to understand it. But it's a continuation of chapter 3. And you remember then that Peter and John, they went into, last week I was preaching about, they went into the temple area there. They went into the Solomon's porch where they would gather and preach. And at this time, it was upsetting these religious leaders. Why? Because they wanted everything to be calm. They thought they already dealt with Jesus Christ in this ridiculous resurrection. You have to understand that the Sadducees did not believe in angels. They did not believe in the resurrection. And then, of course, you had the Sanhedrin that were, as the belief, a lot of them believed in what the Sadducees believed in. The Pharisees were more conservative. The scribes were ones that were writing down the law. You had the elders that were in charge of the different tribes there of Israel. They took care of that. And you had to understand how the power is broken down, because in that temple with these people, that it was very important to keep everything under control. Let's look here at Acts chapter 4 as we look at the persecution begins. And they spoke unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple. He was from the Levitical priesthood, and they kept guard of the temple at that time. And we see here, and the Sadducees came upon them. And so Peter and John were there doing what they were doing, you know, getting together every day there in Solomon's porch, preaching about Jesus Christ. They didn't like it because, again, it was about the resurrection. And little did they know, these priests and these religious leaders were used by Satan, because remember, Satan means little god. He's the little god of this world. And so in verse 2, and being grieved that they are taught the people and preached through Jesus and the resurrection of the dead, that means they were very upset. They were just torn apart. They could have gone ahead and rejoiced and said, this is great. We have a lot of people in the world today that don't think it's great about Jesus Christ. You have a lot of brothers and sisters that are being persecuted since the beginning of, with Jesus Christ. And even with the Jews as well, they remembered back in Deuteronomy here, chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, it says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder and a sign of a wonder come to pass, wherever they spake unto saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of the prophet of the dreaming or dreams. The Lord your God provided you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. Verse 4, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, keep his commandments and obey his voice. And ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And the prophet or that dreamer of dreams, verse 5, shall be put to death because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed your house from the bondage to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord your God had commanded thee to walk in, so shalt thou put the evil away from the midst from thee. They remember what is said in Deuteronomy, that anybody speaks anything else, they didn't care if it was 99.9% correct according to the Mosaic law, they were a false prophet. And he looked at Peter and John and says, you're wrong. My pastor told me a long time ago, he says, when back in Annapolis, Maryland, he said, he and a bunch of preachers went down there back in the 70s. And I remember this as baby Christian. I remember he went down there because they were wanting to get gays into the churches to, God says you hate sin, you love the sinner. They went ahead down there and they found out who was down there. There were preachers. There were reverends, people that were against my pastor standing up for the word of God saying it was wrong. It was the political and religious leaders at the time, the same thing today. When persecution happens, it works the same way. So verse 3, let me move on. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. And remember then, they could not have any trials at night, so they locked them up. Remember later on, Peter and John, they were let out of jail for because of an angel. When God wants to get his work done, ladies and gentlemen, he will get his work done. You know, he will help us to get through. Even if it's us for laying down a gospel tract or telling people about Jesus Christ, we will plant the seed, God will water, and he will get the increase. And so how about many of them which heard the word believed? Remember, there were 5,000 that believed. They were just men. It didn't include women and children. Before that, there were 3,000 men. But that didn't include women and children. So the church was just growing. And I bet the God of this world was having a pickle of a time because he realized then that he couldn't stop God's work. I love what it says in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. It says here, and this is what I say to people when they tell me, oh, you can't do that. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men any day. When it goes against the Lord God Almighty, the Bible, if anything, the laws out there go against this word, you know what? I'm putting God first. I will happily go to jail. Please remember, you don't want to be a martyr. You don't want to do that. You know, unless explicitly says, you know, not to do it in God's word, obey God first. And that's why a lot of brothers and sisters in Christ around this world are suffering, losing their homes, losing their jobs, and going to jail because they believe in this book. It's the Holy Spirit of God penetrating, working in us because he loves us. And so, how about meantime, when they heard the word, believed, verse 4, the number of them were about 4,000 or 5,000. And it came to pass in the morrow that the rulers, the elders, and the scribes, Annas and the high priest and Caiaphas and John the Alexander, they're all part of the Sanhedrin fellowship, I call them there. There were the high priest from the Levitical priesthood, and they were also the Sanhedrin. and they were part of the Sadducees. And so they all conspired together against Peter and John, just like they did Jesus Christ. They hated them because, again, the spirit of Antichrist. And as many were a kindred of the high priest gathered together in Jerusalem, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" They're ready to trap them. Be careful when people try to set you up, try to, you know, sometimes smiling faces aren't always the best faces. You got to be careful about people that will try to use you, try to blaspheme the name of God and turn on you just because you are who you are. You didn't do anything. It's amazing. Persecuted Christians don't do anything wrong. They don't. They just go on with their lives. They get attacked. Why? Because Satan and his forces, the God of this world, knows his time is short and he's coming after us. And if he can get us one way, he'll try something else. That's why I'm saying always keep your guard up. Keep your guard up. Keep mentally sharp. Physically, yes, we're going downhill because we're all getting old, right? You know, we're getting gray hair and you can't see right and everything else. You can't hear right. Can't walk right. On and on and on. But, you know, we have the fire, the Spirit of God within us. Some of us are saying, there's no way I'm getting older. You know, right. You have a young heart. Keep you young, right? So, and then says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers and people of Israel. I love this because he had the boldness and the power with persecution. We need to have that boldness. One person said this during the Roman persecution is written down. Here he says, man, the soldiers came knocking on his door, found out he was a Christian during Nero's persecution. He says, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and take your house. I'm going to take all your treasures unless you deny Christ. Because what happened there was is that if you went before the Caesar's temple and they had areas of incense, and you'd pick up a little bit of that incense and you'd say, Caesar is Lord. But if you didn't say Caesar is Lord, okay, they would pretty much take your life. And I like this. It says, well, I'll take all your treasures. And he quotes scripture, Matthew 6:20 says, my treasures are laid up in heaven. He says, I'll put you in solitary confinement. And the Christian answered back, Proverbs 18:24, my friend is one that sticks closer than a brother. So you can take everything you got. You take my car, my house, my bank account. Take everything I got, my clothes on my back. You can have it, you know, because it all belongs to God anyway. And yet when we write out our wills, we write them out to the Lord because everything belongs to him. Of course, we give it to our family members and our loved ones, whatever God tells you on your heart. And then lastly, he says, I will kill you. And he says, Philippians 1:21, for me to live in Christ is die is gain. You know what? I'd rather go home and be the Lord anyway. Thank you very much. There's nothing here for me left. I've done my work. I've finished running the faith. I am ready and I'm set to stand before my maker. My time is over with. You know, I'm done. You know, done the best I can. Can we say that today? Of course we can. If we're right tight with God. So it says here in verse 9, it says, in this day be examined. Peter wanted to preach the good deed done and put man by what means he is made whole. But if you know unto you all and to all people of Israel that the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God had raised from the dead, even by him doth man stand before you whole. This is the stone of which was set not of the builders, which has become the head corner. You realize he's quoting out of Psalms 118:22. And Jesus even quoted that verse too in Mark 12:10. We see it's a spiritual house. Jesus is that cornerstone of our faith. We are the stones, the lively stones, like it says in Peter, that are built up the church, all the churches that believe in Jesus Christ. We are God ones. We are Christians. We are Christ ones. And each one is built up upon Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, verse 12, for there is none other name under heaven amongst men whereby we must be saved. And so Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No other one comes unto the Father except by me. And you know what? That got those religious leaders angry. I'm sure they were gritting their teeth, clenching their fists, saying, when can we just shut these people up? You ever had somebody tell you that? Would you please just shut up? Or somebody, you know, you just listen to somebody going on and say, well, I wish that person would just be quiet. You know, remember there were times when the preaching was going on that made people angry. Remember religious leaders, they stopped up their ears. They ran out of the temple because they couldn't deal with anymore with Jesus. They got so angry. Says, I can't deal with it anymore. And so now they're saying here, as we look up, they had to threaten them. Of course they did. Now, when they saw that the boldness of Peter and John perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge with them and they had been with Jesus. Oh, these people, Peter and John, they're fishermen. They are from the Sea of Galilee. They were brought up and raised in that area. They were unlearned people. They're not from the northern part of Galilee where you had the more sophisticated, the aristocrats up there, you know, the people who, you know, knew it all and had it all together. No, these were the low lives. So where are these people getting this? Who, you know, we remember what Jesus did. Jesus preached and he changed things. He turned, like as they say, turned the world upside down. I like to say that he turned the world right side up because, you know, he did things that are straightening out people's lives. He's doing so much all because of what? Healing a man. And so it was, they had to go ahead and take a pot shot at him. They didn't like him. Okay. They were saying that, you know, they had no training from Alexandria, which there's a big Jewish school out there. You know, they had no training. Okay. And beholding the man which held standing with them, they could say nothing against them. That meant they could deny nothing. Okay. The truth is the truth. And this is a something there. Don't ever back down from the truth. If somebody's pressing you and telling you to give up your rights as a Christian, don't. Okay? Don't compromise. Okay? Try to reason with them, but if they don't want to listen to that reason, stay strong. Okay? Verse 16, what shall we do to these men? For indeed, a notable miracle has been done by them and manifested to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and they cannot deny it. Now they had to save face. You know, you get somebody backed up in the corner, they're going to go ahead and they're going to be like, okay, we have to defend ourselves. You know, somebody had said this, General George Patton said this a long time ago. He says, if you're always on the defense, and some of you remember him, if you're always on the defense, you're not going to win. If you're on the offense, you're going to win. So we need to go out into this world for Jesus Christ and tear down the strongholds and march on for him. Onward, Christian soldiers. We have to do that because if we're on defensive all the time, we're going to get nowhere. We need to be on the offensive in prayer and supplication. We need to, if we can, fasting. If we can, we go ahead and share Jesus Christ every day. We have a purpose. That's why God has us here. Regardless of persecution and things of the opposition. Verse 17, but if they spread no further among the people, let it straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth no man the name. Verse 18, they called upon them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. In other words, they were saying, don't ever come back into this temple. Don't ever go ahead and preach Jesus. You go ahead and you take what you like and get out of here, okay? And you take all these people with you. But it was too late by then, you know. Satan would have loved to stop Christ's work if he knew that dying on the cross was that sacrifice that he had to do that was prophesied years and years ago, even with Moses, and even back to the book of Genesis, that, you know, he wouldn't have done it. But he was so afraid of taking away his power. One of the Roman Caesars got so paranoid that he had actually had to walk down the street at times with mirrors. And he was so paranoid. Stalin slept in 8 rooms, by the way, when he was in his Kremlin, because every night he had to change each room. But this one Caesar, and I can't pronounce his name, forgive me, okay, was one that had mirrors, so he's afraid somebody might assassinate him. The paranoia behind people who want this, they want power, they want to clutch it, they want to take away our rights. And as Christians, persecution is coming on eventually. And, you know, we have to be ready for it. If it does come, it may not. It may not be in God's plan. But if it does come, we have to be ready with this. Lord, my body, all things I own belong to you. Money, everything belongs to you. God has given us stewardship to take care of it. And that's these blessed us taking good care of us. So, and they called and commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But in verse 19, and Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God judge. And as we see in here in Acts chapter 5, there was a Gamaliel, there was a doctor of the law of reputation, said in verses in Acts 5, 38 and 39, says, and now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone, for if it, the counsel of this work be of men, it will be come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow, at least happily ye be found even to fight against God. In other words, even our own leaders said, if this is of God, you better leave these people alone. You know, God has a protection. It says in Titus, in one of the chapters and verses, we are called to be a peculiar people. That means we're not strange oddballs. That word peculiar has the idea of protection. God protects us, regardless, even if we're sick. We're down and out, in the hospital, can't leave home, on and on. God protects us even through persecution. It says, for we cannot speak these things unless we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them, because the people, for all the men, glorified God for what was done. There wasn't anything they could do about it because it was glorifying God. When persecution comes, there's nothing that can be done. Let's say with Corey Ten Boom. Yes, some people were, like in Nero's time, that were dragged out in the streets, nailed to crosses, thrown pitch and tar, and lit at night. And the historians, when I've read different books over the years, said it was so grotesque that even the Roman citizens cried out and said, stop! It stinks, it smells, their cries. We can't even go down the road. We got to look at this. Are you nuts? You know, and then Nero said, okay, enough is enough. Saying that could never happen here. Oh, I'll tell you what, I've been amazed. I thought I knew everything. I don't know nothing, like one guy said. I don't know anything. When it comes to God, I can't even scratch the surface. My fingers are bare. God is sovereign. He can do whatever he wants. But be prepared. Be prepared. Remember, our bodies don't belong to us. They belong to him. Everything belongs to him. And we have a glorious, glorious future in Jesus Christ. One day we will be at home with him, with our loved ones. I can't wait. Verse 22 says, for the man was above 40 years old whom this miracle of healing was shown. And then we see, thirdly, there was a prayer for boldness for everyone. There's boldness here today. There's encouragement and there's courage. God has given us the courage to do it. And it is found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Well, we have the fruit of the Spirit is love. And out of that love comes joy, peace, patience, on long-suffering, and on and on and on and on there. You read that sometime. That's our courage. That's our boldness. Yes, there were healings and signs, not like they tell you on TV set in some of these gigantic conglomerate churches where people are looking to get healed and being deceived. But these healings and signs were what? For the manifestation, the people to get saved, and then the healings and signs came. That's what happened to that crippled man. He believed in Jesus, and then Peter grabbed his arm. He got up, and he jumped around for joy, and yet the people were deceived because they were like, oh, Peter and John, are you this great? And Peter and John are like, no way. This is Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God, the same Holy Spirit, but we're not seeing in our churches today. I believe it's not of God, and I believe that Satan is a counterfeit. And yes, I believe too that people can get healed, but keep it in perspective. At this time, these healings and signs were only for a short while, and they were what? To get the gospel out, the people to get saved, not to grow gigantic churches, not for people to make all kinds of things, and not of God. So it says, Verse 23, and being let go, they went of their own company and reported all the chief priests and elders and said unto them, and when they heard this, they lifted their voice to God in one accord and said, Lord God, which has made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them. And then now this is referring to Psalms chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. By whom the mouth of thy servant David has said, why has the heathen raged and why has the people imagined vain things? In other words, that idea of rage is being angry and turning it into violence. If people don't like it, and man, they will tear into you. I mean, people can be vicious with their mouth. That's probably the worst. And they can be vicious with their fist and physically too. And they were with that with our Lord Jesus Christ. And then on top of that, these people are imagining vain things. That vain means empty. It means nothing. Nothing. And eternity's values, it has no good, no value. And so the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers gathered together against the Lord and against Jesus Christ. And of course, this was prophesied by David. And this is being preached. This is being taught. And for the truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed by both Herod, Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together. In other words, these people were against us. Let me tell you, you get a little touch of persecution is when people disagree with you. People get angry. People get mean with you when you share Jesus Christ. Thank God we still have a law in this land. The Bill of Rights, we still have that. We still have our amendments, our Constitution. But we got some people today who want to do away with that, I really believe. But it's all, again, the Antichrist, the anti-world system coming after you and I. Because the days are short. We only have so much time left. We have to use it for the glory of God as he gives us life. So I could never understand why you had these people who wanted the law, which was bad news, which was threatening. You break one of the laws, you break them all. All have 630 laws, and there were many other ones that they made up. But then there was the good news of the grace, the promising of Jesus Christ, the grace that Jesus came. It's not by works. And there are so many people who try to get to heaven by works, and they still go to church faithfully every day. I want to work my way to heaven. And yet you go out witnessing to people, and they tell you, oh, I know Jesus. Oh, I know what it is to be saved. But when you listen and you don't talk, you don't give them the words to speak, they'll tell you all about how good works they do. They do. Okay? It's by grace. Once you get saved, then, yes, you do have good works. You do have a blessing to be to people. But then it's not the other way around. And so by stretching forth the hand to heal, he went on to say, and the signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And listen to this. And when they had prayed, the place shaken. Now remember, the Holy Spirit came as a wind in Acts chapter 2. And it filled the people in the upper room. But then you have also the shaking of the ground. And again, that was symbolic of the Holy Spirit coming and filling people. It's kind of interesting, you know, if you ever heard of the Shakers, and they were a breakoff from the Quakers back in the 1700s. What the Shakers believed in is that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit and start shaking, okay, literally. And that's how it all started there with Mother Ann Lee. She believed back in the 1700s that she was the second coming of Christ. I could never understand that. You know, a woman, you know, saying that and, you know, having followers. It's like the rest of these cults. But anyway, the Shakers and the Quakers, however you want to cut the pie up and look at it and taste it or whatever, it all comes down to still, it's the work salvation. And so we see that the Holy Spirit came. They were shaken, and they had already heard about what happened there with these Sadducees and with the Sanhedrin. We were telling them not to do it anymore. The captain of the guard, was a Levite, and he had arrested them. And they had all this opposition against them. They had everything against them, but they had one thing that was for, and that was Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And that's one thing that we have today. And as I close here, And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. If I can't be filled with the Holy Spirit and preach, what more can we do if we witness to people? You know, sometimes it's hard, and we're going to look at this, looking at when we get together for evangelism afterwards, if those who want to stay with that, you got to have the Holy Spirit. You got to have that to work in people's lives. But you know what? We have that today. We have a persecution that's going on in the church today. And yet, no matter what happens, people threaten us, we can still go in prayer and get under the teaching of the Word of God. Great revivals happened. The heaviness of the Holy Spirit came amongst people. As one person said, that heaviness was people realized that they were sinners in the hands of God. And this heaviness that came upon them, revival broke out. Dwight L. Moody said, you know, when he started preaching, revival hit. Reading one of his books, he says, you know what? He says, all I was doing what I do all the time, preaching in a church there in Chicago. And then he says, one day he said, I just got filled with the Spirit of God and people just started getting saved. He says, he wasn't doing anything extra. None of these, what some of these preachers do today or people do today to put on a big show. It was just the preaching and the Spirit of God working in his life. Simplistic, like God makes it very simplistic. Even as much for a five-year-old to an 80-year-old, makes it very easy to understand. All we have to do is be, you know what? It's just realize that it's been at peace with God. And I just take it for what it says. I believe this Bible from cover to cover. It's right there. It's got the blood of Christ in it. It's good enough for me. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and you've never experienced the Holy Spirit coming into your life, take that seriously. Sit down, read your Bible. Realize that God loves you, number one. And number two, he forgives you. Number three, you need to forgive yourself. You need to ask for forgiveness from other people you wronged them. But realize it is the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross. It's not just a bunch of words. It's a relationship. And thank God for those who are suffering right now. Some people are suffering right now because of the sickness. People have died. People are going through all kinds of problems. But God understands. He loves us. Don't ever forget that. He loves us. Feels like, you know, Pastor, it's not a persecution, but I just feel like everything's being thrown at me. You know what? God loves you. God loves you. He does. And people love you too. And remember, he will never leave you and he will never walk away from you. He's right there. He's right there. He dwells within you. He's God's in you. He's you know, he can't break his promises. He is God. He is God Almighty. He has a plan. He's allowing this all to happen for a reason. Why? To give him glory. And so I need to stop. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. God, we just ask you, Lord, as we come to you now here, we just ask you, God, that you just bless us this week. Help us to do what you'd have us to do. Lord, we pray for the persecuted people physically, Lord, and mentally and spiritually. They're going through atrocities right now, that you'd be with them. Be with the people that are suffering in this church right now, at home, here, that would love to be with us, that can't. Be with them, bless them, take care of them. Lord, help us continue to pray. In Jesus' name we ask this, amen.